We do have an update for Miss Loretta Pierce. They placed a stent in the pancreas, and she will go back in 6 weeks to see if the stone has moved.
That was they did a third attempt to remove a stone out of her pancreas.
Wow. That's your only prayer request?
Yes, sir.
Father, I just pray right now for Loretta. Lord, this is the third attempt, Lord, for this thing to be removed out of this pancreas. God, I'm believing, Lord, that supernaturally you're going in and just completely remove this thing. Let it just be exhausted out of her body, Father God. And, Lord, let her find peace in her body. Father, we're just going to give you glory in advance that you're taking care of this thing. Lord, let the pain be removed. Let the hindrances be removed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-343-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here in Elk City at the Promise Center.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling is located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all of your plumbing, heating, and cooling needs, contact Drew's at 580-343-2525. They are a company that cares.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Pastor Tammy Bailey would like to invite you to the Refuge Church. They're located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for this morning is Pastor Chris Ogden. His title, What Are You Willing to Walk Away From for the Kingdom?
Hallelujah. Well, I got 20 minutes, so I better get on it. Amen. And how can you not love God's word? Huh? You know, how many thousands and thousands of people is the book just on top of the mantle? You know, and they never get in the book. Now, we're living in a day of technology. Hello. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a physical Bible. You know, when I was younger, I kept a New Testament in my back pocket, took it everywhere, and I had a little bottle of oil. Amen. I always went to the hospital. I mean, it was just seemed like the right thing to do, you know. And, but, you know, now that I'm old, you know what I mean? I can't read that little New Testament. They ain't got binoculars big enough that I can wear. And so, you know, but now, amen, we're living in a land of technology. All you got to do is get your phone out, mm-hmm. get your iPad out. Mm-hmm. You know, you the word is everywhere available. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many days do we take it out and watch Facebook all day?
Right.
Huh? How much of the word have you got on that? Right? I mean, it's available. And so, you know, in this second half here, or second piece, amen, I want to talk about something, and I'm going to give you some examples, you know, that are very real, amen, things that have happened, things that are done, things that are there, you know, and I want us to remember, you know, this rich young ruler, amen, had to make some decisions. And it was grieving him to make it because it was uncommon territory. You're not going to witness to the world if you never do it. You're not going to go out there and win the world, amen, if you're not willing to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And that means that it isn't always comfortable to testify. It isn't always comfortable to go into all the world. It isn't always a perfect opportunity, but it's opportunity. It isn't always going to be the right moment because there's a lot of traffic or a lot of friends, amen, but the Holy Spirit is dealing with you to talk to that one because the Holy Spirit knows the future of that one. We don't. But he's asking you to be light or to speak light, mm-hmm. or, you know, deposit something into their life. And I think if we could see this, and I was praying yesterday afternoon, amen, I call it the man cave where I live at my shop, you know. I built this little area. It's about 600 square feet, and it's kind of cool, but it's a man cave. Amen. And I'm sitting there on the couch, and I'm in the Word, and I'm talking to God, and I'm putting some messages together, printing them out, and typing them into my computer for my Philippine trip. You know, I'm getting everything ready and in order, what the Holy Spirit wants me to speak. And all of a sudden, he says, you know, Chris, the biggest hindrance and negative, and this is what the Holy Spirit was telling me, is that people are delusioned about what it is to be a witness in the world. Some plant, some water, some get to see the harvest. Quit worrying that when the Holy Spirit deals with your heart to go out into all the world, that it's going to be this big, massive, embarrassing moment. Sometimes he'll have you speak. Sometimes he just wants you to take his presence into the surroundings. Mm-hmm. Huh? Have you ever walked in a room and all of a sudden you said, man, what is that? Mm-hmm. Amen. Have you ever been around certain people and you just feel that anointing coming off their life? Amen. And things like that. And this sometimes is the thing that he's asking you to fulfill. But we get so nervous. How am I going to go in there and say that, do this, and be that? You know what I mean? And all of a sudden you've talked yourself right out of the opportunity when maybe sometimes you're going to be that initiator in that person's life to plant the first seed, but it's not grown yet. You just deposited something into them. You might have said, you know, if we've ever had opportunities to be light, it's today at the end of the end days. Amen. There's so many things going on in our world that is breathing fear or bringing doubt or bringing uncertainty. We have an open table that God has prepared. Let me tell you something. Love me through it. I don't want nobody to die and go to hell. I'm sorry. I don't. God put this in my heart when I first got saved. I'm so grateful. Ever since I got saved, every time somebody told me somebody died, the first thought in my mind is, did they know the Lord? Mm-hmm. Is, did they know the Lord? Because if they didn't or didn't have opportunity, we failed as believers. We didn't plant seed or we didn't give opportunity. Yet I know the scripture declares that everyone will have at least one opportunity. Amen. But how many opportunities did we have before we said yes?
Right.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. I go back in my life and I said, man, I couldn't believe I had so many opportunities. Amen. I was just hard. I didn't want God. Didn't want any of that. You know, wasn't raised in that. But my mind goes back to, you know, in the life that we're living today, and the rich young ruler was grieved, and the rich young ruler didn't understand because he had been raised in wealth. Amen. He had plenty of money. And now Jesus said, walk away. Amen. What are you willing to walk away from for my kingdom? What are you willing to do for my kingdom? Are you a voice? Are you an asset? Are you standing in the gap and making up the hedge when those that don't understand? And don't expect them to answer correctly. Right. They don't know God yet.
Right.
Amen. But they're watching. Mm-hmm. And God has been preparing. Again, you might be the one to seed plant, but you might be the one that's been watering somebody. Or you just might be the lucky one to get to see him say, yes, I need Jesus. We all enjoy that. But the sad thing for the Christian, what I'm trying to clarify here, is that oftentimes, you know, we look on our life, and if we're not careful, even out of our pulpits, we judge a congregation saying, how many have you seen saved this year? That really doesn't matter. Have you planted or have you watered? Or maybe you were the lucky one that got to see him come across the line. The reality is, have I been taking opportunity? Have I said yes to opportunity as it came my way? I was in Panera Bread. I've already told you this morning. I go to Panera Bread every time. Judy is a night owl. Amen. She goes to bed at 2 or 3 in the morning, right? But she don't get up till 10 or 12, right, and get ready for the day, and then that's lunch. We don't start our real day till 1 o'clock. Amen. And you don't ask her a lot of things till 1 o'clock. You know what I mean? Amen. You know what to pick your battle on. I don't say that in a negative, but that we know the rules. Amen. And so when I go to Tulsa, the first 5 or 6 hours of my day every day, because I'm going there to see my wife, because she lives there. I live out here right now. Amen. I've got things to do. Sometimes I'm getting parts or whatnot for the business, you know. Most of the time, I know that I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to Queenie's restaurant or a flower cafe, get me something to eat. And then I go, amen, usually to the park. Amen. And then I go to Panera Bread, or I'll go to Panera Bread first. Amen. Then go to the park. But I was in Panera Bread 2 weeks ago. Amen. Same normal thing. It's about 7:30 in the morning. Amen. And I take my, my briefcase, and it's got my computer, my Bible, all my notes and everything, a book I'm reading and, you know, everything I got. Throw my phone out. I got the whole table. Amen. I set it all up. And I'm getting ready to just get into Word, doing my morning, you know, commitment to me and God. And all of a sudden, there's a rift going on in Panera Bread. There was a homeless guy in there that wasn't in his right mind completely. He was on the kiosk over there, talking to this kiosk real loud, trying to make it work. Amen. And a homeless guy and just, but there's a lot of regular people in there, and I could tell that they were getting upset, all right, and they were getting nervous, you know, because you never know what's going to happen out of something like this. Well, long story short, amen, all of a sudden the manager comes over, amen, and talks to him and you know, kind of get into a semi-yelling match and said, I'm calling the cops, you know, which she did, all right, because he wouldn't leave, you know. And she's just doing probably what she needed to do because, you know, there's a lot of people in there she don't want to lose, I'm sure. And things are changing in society. We're seeing more and more of this, okay? And I'm over there in my normal spot, you know, and so all of a sudden, amen, here comes the policeman. Amen. And the manager goes right up to the policeman and said, I want you to write him a ticket. She was just being super aggressive, you know, and taking authority and all this. You know, my thing is, and that didn't set right with me, because what's a homeless guy going to do with a ticket, right? So, you know, it was just an authority thing that she was trying to show the rest of the people. I'm dealing with this, right? But this is not working well in my heart. I got to be honest with you, because this guy is messed up and he just simply in a bad way, you know. And so, you know, this is going on. And so finally, I go up and get me a cup of coffee, amen, and pay for it. And I'm walking back, and the policeman was having trouble getting him out. Well, he finally got aggressive with him, and he said, look, I'm taking you outside. He had a soda cup, amen, in his hand that was half full, the homeless guy. Amen. And the policeman said, where did you get that? Did you pay for that? No, I didn't pay for that. He probably got it out of the trash can, to be honest with you, because they just don't give you. You can't just grab a cup out there. Right. They have to give it to you. Amen. And so he probably got it out of the trash can, put him some pop in there or something. So we laid that down right in front of the manager and at the cashier's deal there. And the policeman took him outside, said, come outside. I got to write you a citation. And I got to be honest with you, girls. Amen. Love me through this. But I went right back to the table, and I put my coffee down, and I got to be honest with you, I just started crying. I just started weeping, and it wasn't that I'm weak or anything. It's just compassion started coming out of me. This dude is messed up. He's upset. He's not in the right thinking. I know they get this a lot, all right? You know, it's downtown Tulsa area. But why can't we just grab several guys and let's just walk him out and be kind, you know, and just say, hey, man, try to have the best day you can, but you can't do this in there. But instead, you got to call the cops. You got to be aggressive. You try to show your authority, all the wrong things. And the weirdest thing is this guy looked like Jesus. That was the weirdest thing. It was freaking me out. Oh. I mean, it was a lookalike like Jesus, right? I mean, the same hair, same everything look. And you never know if you're, you know, angels unaware.
Right.
Okay? And for a particular reason. And so I'm sitting there, and my spirit is just all beat up and everything, and they get him outside. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit deals with me. And so I went back up to the counter, and that cup is still sitting there. And I said, is that guy's cup? And she says, yeah. I said, fill it up. And she said, well, he didn't pay for any of that. I said, I'll pay for it. I said, how much is it? It was $3.71. That's it. She could have saved herself a whole lot of trouble by just refilling his cup, you know, and let him go. I mean, this is what we do, right? And so when I paid for it, it freaked him out, her and the other donut lady. Like, what are you doing, man? You know what I'm saying? And so I got the cup, I paid for it, and I went outside, and the policeman is dealing with this guy, you know, the best he could. And I walked outside, and I handed that cup to the homeless guy, and I said, here's your drink. And the cop gets aggressive. He said, he didn't pay for that. I said, I know, I did. I want him to have his drink. Amen. And he said, see there, there are kind people in the world. I didn't do it for anything about me. That wasn't the reason. I simply was obedient to the Holy Spirit, right? I don't need a pat on the back. I mean, we all get, Judy does a lot for me. Hello. I don't pay for that. Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, forgive me, Lord. Amen. You know, the thing about it is that, amen, the policeman said, I was just getting ready to give him a water. He says, amen, thank you for being kind. And so it not only ministered to the policeman, it ministered to Jesus or whatever his name was. But the message is, why do we want to complicate things? The rich young ruler was saddened because now he had to give up everything he had. When are you going to be willing to give up something? God doesn't ask me to give up everything. He might. He never has.
Right?
To follow his will. It's the little things that make the difference in life. Mm-hmm. That somebody knows that somebody does care. Mm-hmm. And do we really care? It was just 3 weeks ago, I'm in Tulsa, and, you know, we're looking at houses and shops. You know, I might be moving back there. And, well, supposed to be moving back there. Let me clarify that, mm-hmm. You know. And we've been looking at and so we were in Skytook, Oklahoma. And we were looking at this one house. We came out, and all of a sudden, there is 3 blocks long of cars, bumper to bumper, and it turned out to be this food deal that was handing out food to people that were in need.
Wow.
And let me clarify here. They weren't all Ramblers and bummer cars. There were Lexus and high-dollar cars out there. There's people that you think have money that are struggling. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so we need to be quick not to judge and realize people are doing the best that they can do. You know, the disciples were astonished. That's the ending part of this. The disciples were astonished at his words. You know, how does anybody have a chance? Because the disciples also recognize people with money usually have favor with God. You know, well, if you really get in the Word of God, people that have money have been given money to be a blessing, mm-hmm. especially Christian realm. Mm-hmm. It isn't, again, look who I am, because really that's just all pride, and God has nothing to do with that. Humility is everything with the Father, mm-hmm. right? And so we need to realize, you know, what am I doing that might cost me something, but God will always bring it back 100-fold. He will never be indebted to you. Give a dollar, he'll give you 10 back. Mm-hmm. You know, give some time, he'll give you time. I remember when I first got saved. I got saved in a hardline church in Catoosa, right? We had lots of rules, man. You know, women had to wear dresses, no makeup, none of that, no TV. I have 2.5 acres I used to own in Catoosa, amen, outside of Catoosa, or in Catoosa, but on the end of it. And I buried 7 TVs out there, amen. I'd get weak, go buy another TV. Then I'd get, you know, pray through and get rid of it. Yeah, I finally got delivered. I got a TV now, you know. And it was so bad, amen. My brother lived down the street. He worked for me in my body shop, amen. And I didn't have a TV. Here was pastor's house. Here was my house. Here was the church. I didn't have a chance, amen. But my brother lived right here, so I went over there and borrowed his TV, put it in my closet, and watched a movie. How ridiculous is that, right? And so I finally got delivered, amen. But the thing about it is a lot of times we don't recognize what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Is my witness good? Is my lifestyle good? Is my representation good and acceptable? It doesn't matter if it's acceptable to the world. Is it acceptable to God? And this is what I'm going to close this up with today. The eclipse. I can't tell you, ladies, how discouraged I was in the attitude of Christians about the eclipse. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm an internet guy. I make my money on the internet, all right? And so I sell all my vehicles and hot rods on the internet, and everything I do is internet. And, you know, I do a lot of YouTube, and I follow a lot of preachers. And like I said, I listen to two or three messages every day, usually podcasts while I'm working or, you know. And so, you know, I'm following all this, and there's all this hype about the eclipse. You know, everybody now has a prophetic word. Everybody now has a voice. Everybody now, it's all dooms. Amen. Everybody now, we're all dying, and it's going to be over and all these things. And none of them, most of them. Probably 90% of them, amen, don't have a clue. They're trying to make money on YouTube, all right? And the sad thing about it is a lot of the world is following it because they're scared, all right?
Fear is big.
And the fear of being left behind, the fear of not knowing. You know, I'm not interested in somebody getting saved to escape hell, yet I don't want them to go to hell. I want you to come into a relationship and live the best life you've ever lived.
Yes.
Amen. I don't want to be one that is sending the wrong mission. You just need to miss hell. You do. But that's not why. You know, if you never in the Word of God, are you really going to go to heaven and listen to the Word from God? If you never lift your hands or praise God or don't like Christian music, how are you going to be around, amen, the Godhead that's got all this praise and worship going on? Mm-hmm. Amen. If you never want to talk to God, how are you going to get up there and be in a fellowship relationship with God in heaven? We've got this thing warped, mm-hmm. Okay? Instead of realizing, I don't want to have an experience with God. I want to be in relationship. He's my Father. I love Him. He loves me. He lets me know every day. And the eclipse was an opportunity, if we've ever had an opportunity, for me to go into all the world, as it says in Mark 11:24. Go into all the world, preach this gospel. Let's not take that word wrongly. That means be an example. That means plant, water, or maybe be the one that gets to see the harvest. That's it. Somebody needs me. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs you. Now, grant you got the halo. I don't, right? So you got an easier path. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got stuff in my life, you know what I mean? But the reality of it is that if we ever had an opportunity, we had one the other day that was freely given. God created the stars and the moon. And the Bible even says that every star that we see in heaven has a name. God named everyone. This didn't take God unawares that it was coming across, amen, and going to give us an eclipse. No, it was all put into, and the scientists even know now, we can go 200 years from now to the very second science now understands when the next one will be, to the very minute. They understand how God has operated through all this. And here we had the perfect opportunity to take fear off people, to give them some comfort, to be kind to others that are thinking, man, it's the end time and I'm not ready. You have words to give them or life to show them. All these great opportunities, but much of the church. And I'm not trying to judge the church. I'm just trying to open their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You had a perfect opportunity that cost you nothing. Mm-hmm. God did it all. And what did you do with it? You simply are telling everybody, oh, this is just a big hoax. It's all a joke. What are you getting all excited about? You ought to be getting excited about the beautiful, amen, fantastic ability of God in operation. So it lets me wonder where you're at, mm-hmm. spiritually speaking, when you have this attitude. See?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make it optional for me to go into all the world. I have to be a voice.
That's right.
If I get a call from Hour of Power, that's not optional. I have always tried, even with Neva, I have tried for many years, change my schedule that we can be a voice, one more opportunity. I remember one time I did an Hour of Power, man, they were in Switzerland, we had people sending stuff, but we were going worldwide.
Yeah.
Huh? I can't really drive over to, Poland. You know, I have followers in Poland with my shop talk in Australia and different, you know. We have opportunity today.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? What are we doing with it? Well, that's what I got for you. I'm 3 minutes over. I love you guys. Appreciate what you do.
This is a good word. Mm. We appreciate you coming and sharing with us what's on your heart.
Always a joy.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and Pastor Chris Ogden. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.